What's up, guys? Faruqi Bros here, back with another podcast. And today for you guys, we're going to be talking about our first week, week and a half of New York Film Festival. So a bunch of movies are debuting at the New York Film Festival. Some of them are repeats from Toronto, from Venice, etc. But we're going to be covering the ones that we've seen this last week. And there's been some pretty big heavy hitters. So we're going to basically do a roundtable style format where we give our quick individual thoughts on the biggest films, potential score, and if there are anyone or anything about the movie that constitutes towards the award season coming up. So let's get right into it. And I want to start with something that's creating immediate buzz since last night's premiere at New York Film Festival, and that's Bradley Cooper's Maestro. This is a film that kind of charters the life of musician and composer Leonard Bernstein. And basically, the film covers his life and his family's life from over the course of, I would say, three to four decades, maybe even longer. The Faruqi Bros, we saw this film, and I'll start off with my review. I thought the film was absolutely phenomenal. I was very happy with the creative direction. I think there was a sense of polish on the film that's absolutely phenomenal. And it's indicative of Bradley Cooper's work as a director. He's improved so much from starting from Star is Born. Of course, that was a great big touchstone moment where he cemented himself as a real director in the Hollywood space. But now after Maestro, I think you can make a case that he might have a better future even on the directing chair than he does as an actor. But that's not to take away his acting skills, because he gave a performance as Leonard Bernstein that pretty much puts him in the running for Best Actor. If not locking it for entirely, that's another debate for maybe an awards focused podcast. But I was very, very impressed by his performance. That's amplified by the great makeup team, the VFX team, everyone that kind of worked to bring this character to life. Absolutely great. And then Carey Mulligan, I think she played the perfect co-star. Apparently, we heard from today, we were at a press conference with the producers and some of the key technical supervisors, and she was a hand pick of Bradley Cooper himself. So very great pick by him. I thought the movie absolutely paced beautifully, scored beautifully. Of course, the score has to be perfect for a movie like this. So I gotta say, this might be a hot take. Maybe my thoughts change, but I think this is the best film of New York Film Festival so far. And personally, I'm going 5 out of 5 on it. So very impressed. Yeah, I'm going to jump to you next. What did you think about Maestro?
Yeah, I think you pretty much hit it on every single point. It was almost perfect in every single way. It probably was perfect in every single way. I think the acting from both Bradley Cooper and Carey Mulligan as the two leading stars were perfectly done. It was very powerful and a very great, compelling performance from both of them as you're going through like the life of Leonard Bernstein, this composer, legendary composer. And just following him step by step as he goes through like each stage of his life. Bradley Cooper really captured his Leonard Bernstein's self through all those moments very, very well. Like at least on screen, he was very, very convincing. And as we heard from like the press conference afterwards from Jamie Bernstein, who was there, daughter of Leonard Bernstein, they did an incredible job where even she was like, yeah, it was kind of a surreal feeling where it's like it's almost like a fever dream or like a dream where it's like you see your parents, but they're kind of not your parents. So that's also just a testament to how much they put themselves into this role and how well they played it out. And I think from start to bottom, from beginning to end, it was really just perfect on every note.
Yeah, I mean, did you give your score, by the way? I don't know if you jumped into it. What was your score for this film? And of course, things change day to day, but where are you sitting at right now?
Things change day to day. I think for me, it's anywhere from 4.5 to 5. I'm not sure if I'm ready to lock in completely yet, but it was a pretty incredible film overall. So it could probably most likely be a 5 by the end of when I think about it. But right now it's somewhere between there.
Cool. So from Zian, I want to jump to Samir next. I mean, me and Zian have spoken pretty glowingly about Maestro so far, top to bottom. But I want to hear if you agree with it, if you have any disagreements, where did you stand on it coming out of this film?
Overall, I thought the film was pretty great. I was very surprised at how well Bradley Cooper was able to direct this. I mean, the cinematography was crazy throughout, and it's crazy to think that he could direct it so well from behind the camera and still give like an Oscar-worthy performance in front of the camera. And of course, Carey Mulligan was also amazing right next to him. The thing about the movie is that I felt like it really shined through the musical aspect of the film. And it kind of dulled down a little bit when it was focusing on the relationship a lot of the time. I think they played it kind of safe with that too. But the good thing about that is that it wasn't just about Bernstein. It was about Felicia also. So it kind of mixed up how people usually do biopics, focusing on the main guy. But I think it was very nuanced in that way.
Yeah, and where are you sitting on it from a score perspective?
I think for now I have it at a 4.5 out of 5. But I think it was a 4 to 4.5. So a little lower than you two, but I do think it was great still.
Fair enough, yeah. So far I think a lot of, from at least the Faruqi Bros perspective, this is one of the films to beat coming up for the award season. And we'll definitely be talking about it more often as we close out the second half of the year. But let's see how it goes. Let's move on from one big Oscar contender to another one, because I want to jump to Poor Things and particularly Emma Stone's brilliant performance as Bella Baxter. And I want to start again. I'm going to roundtable back to myself and I'll give my review of the film first. I thought Poor Things was quite an interesting movie. I think that obviously it's an adaptation of a book. A lot of people considered this book, after a little bit of research, as one of the films, one of the books that's almost impossible to adapt fully on screen, because it's a very controversial subject material. It's hard to translate a lot of what the words are to the screen. But if you want a director who's going to go for the fences, you had one for this movie, which is why it's a big candidate for best director. But I think my personal feelings about the movie is that very ambitious, very interesting, very hyper focused on the core themes that it wants to present. But I think the true winner, the true golden child of this film, as I say, is going to be Emma Stone. You know, she's already has an Oscar for La La Land, but I think she might just back it up and get another one for this one, because I'm looking at the fields of this year. I don't know who's going to have a resume as strong as her from her work just on Poor Things. I personally think she's locked her next Oscar with this one. I think top to bottom, what she's had to work with from a script level, from a screenplay level in particular, was very demanding, extremely demanding. I feel like she gave her all to that role. And by the end of it, I was, while my feelings in the film are up and down the more I think about it, overall, I'm extremely impressed by what Emma Stone particularly carved out for herself. So for me, I'm still on the fence about my score. At the moment, I'm sticking with the 4 out of 5 for Poor Things. In terms of Oscar potential, I do think there's a couple of things coming up. There's a couple of categories where this film has its strengths, but it's not without its weaknesses as well. But for me, if I think about this film, I immediately think of Emma Stone. I think about how great of a job she did. But those are my thoughts. Zian, what about you? Agree, disagree? What were your thoughts on Poor Things?
Yeah, again, like the maestro, I pretty much agree with most of your points. I think, yeah, Emma Stone really, really stole the show. Like, she took the role and just went completely crazy with it, like, in a good way, obviously, and just really embraced the character and gave this, like, eccentric, nuanced performance as you see this character go along this movie. And I think, yeah, a lot of credit as well to the director, Yorgos Lanthimos. He did a very great job as well. There's an adaptation of, I guess, an obscure novel or story. And it's an interesting film. I don't think it's a film for, like, wide audiences. It wasn't really created for that. But the vision he had for this film and what he put forward, whether it's through the production design, through the costumes, or even bringing out these performances from his cast, he really did put out a very interesting film that keeps you engaged, mostly engaged throughout the whole movie. And not even just her. I think she's obviously, like, shooing for nomination at the least for best actress, and most likely they'll win. I mean, I'm not sure who else can really challenge that at this point, and what other movies are coming out now that has a best actress that could even compete with what she did in this movie. But even other characters like Mark Ruffalo, stuff like that, where I wasn't really expecting much out of performance, but he was an entertaining part of the movie as well, and he was kind of funny with his, like, chemistry between himself and Emma Stone's character. So all those things, I think, really worked for the film. And I think, like Shiraz said, for me personally also, some things landed and some things didn't. I think it was somewhat overindulgence in some areas, and then not as much of like not enough time spent on certain other themes. So I think in that regard, it does drop it a little bit to score for me. But I think I would also end up with around 4 out of 5. So it is interesting movie. Some people might love it. Some people be like, yeah, this is not for me. But I think go and see it and you'll find out like if this is your movie.
Yeah, it's interesting because you use the word overindulgence, because that's what I wrote in my tweet when I was kind of formulating my first thoughts on Poor Things. And I called it overindulgent, off-putting, overbearing, albeit intentionally. And that's interesting to think about. Like a lot of these, yes, it's very much an overdoing of a lot of these themes, but when you take it at face value that this is done intentionally, then it gives it a certain bit of more nuance. But that doesn't mean it's everyone's cup of tea. So some people might just not like it. Samir, are you one of those people? Did you like it or not like it?
I thought it was great. I thought it was very interesting. Just by the way it shot, it is very unique. I don't think I've seen any movie shot quite as obscurely or uniquely as this one. As far as overbearing as it is, I feel like it's just very extravagant and out there. And because it's a comedy, they kind of go all in on that. And yeah, I agree that sometimes they do overdo it a lot of the time, actually, throughout the middle of the movie. But for me, just because it's a comedy, I feel like it was kind of expected from that. It does make it a little worse than I remember it being initially. But overall, I think it was really well done. I really like what I had to say about like human nature and what it means to be human, even if they went too far with some aspects of it.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, it's Frankenstein. It's a story about Frankenstein's monster, and it's an interesting twist on a classic story. But and I think it did quite well. I think if it even leaned even more further into some of its more horror or grotesque elements, it could have been more interesting, I think. But I think I'm not sure how much of this movie has a chance for Best Picture, but I do think Best Actress for Emma Stone is quite worthy. And we'll see if Best Supporting Actor, they can get either Willem Dafoe or Mark Ruffalo in there. I don't know. It's a pretty tight category, but we'll see how those nominations look like. As you guys know, look, not a shameless plug, but my vote's mostly on Critics' Choice. So when that list comes, I have a say. But for any of the other awards like Golden Globes or Oscars, not on that level. So just keeping an eye on what happens to come. Cool. And Samir, did you give your score? I forgot if you gave it yet.
Score, I give it a 4.5, which I also give to Maestro, but I would put it above Maestro in the overall New York Film Festival ranking list or whatever.
Mr. Umar Faruqi said for Poopy Bros. Why don't you hop on then? Give us some of your thoughts. Hop on, Mr. Umar. We're waiting for you. So let's move on from Poor Things to another pretty much universally, this time we're going from a controversial film to a universally acclaimed film, and that's The Boy and the Heron. It's Miyazaki's new masterpiece. That's the tagline I wrote when I was cooking up these subtitles for us to go from topic to topic. But this has been one of the most anticipated films for it debuted at Toronto Film Festival on the western side of the fence. Debuted in Japan earlier in the year. But it's been very much anticipated by all of Miyazaki's fan base, but also the wider film community, as originally it was meant to be his final film. After Toronto Film Festival, maybe after seeing the reaction, he's like, you know, I got one more in me. So I think he's coming back for one more showing after this. But that doesn't mean we can't still talk about this film and all of what it's trying to present. Once again, it's back in my seat to go first. For The Boy and the Heron, I think this is just, like I said, it's Miyazaki's new masterpiece. I think it has all the pieces that this director is known for. It has all the themes that he touches on. He has a certain way that he goes about, you know, delving into these themes. It's the opposite of spoon-feeding it. A lot of it's subtextual. A lot of it's things that you have to infer or get it from subtle emotion, subtle musical cues. And then from terms of animation, as always, there's a level of crispness to everything he's doing. Literally, some of the shots of this film look like full-on paintings. Like each shot could be taken out, framed out, and be this is the perfect shot of the movie. That's how good the polish was from scene to scene. In terms of themes, I really liked kind of what the film was trying to talk about. There's various interpretations even between our group on what exactly Miyazaki's trying to say. But one of the things that I felt he's trying to do, without getting into spoilers, is almost talk about himself. I think one of the characters in the film is almost a clear mouthpiece to him, and what he's feeling like at his age, at what he's trying to do with his career. This potentially being his last movie. He is in his 80s now. So I thought there was a character in the movie that was pretty much him talking about himself. And then his main protagonist feels almost like an amalgamation or an homage to multiple of his protagonists of the past. So I feel like a lot of things are like he's honoring his own work while almost daring someone else to come and do the next thing, you know? So these all things I really liked about it. And but yeah, I digress there. I think ultimately, one of the best films of New York Film Festival. I personally have given it a 4.5 out of 5, though I am very much teetering on giving this a 5 as well. It might just be 5 by the time you see me in the next podcast. So, but that's where I'm sitting at it right now. Normally, I would go to Zion next, but since Samir is the resident Miyazaki fan, and you saw this film at Toronto Film Festival, so now you're 2 watches in. What do you think about The Boy and the Heron?
I think this movie was near perfect, if not perfect. It was a classic Ghibli movie, so it had all the classic elements of a Miyazaki film, from the humor to the amazing animation, And I feel like this movie was even more ambitious with the animation than the previous ones. And of course, Miyazaki loves to make his movies very subtly nuanced with his political allegories or whatever, which I really liked for this one specifically. The thing about this movie is, apart from the others, is that, or not even apart from the others, a lot of the Ghibli movies are like this, that you can watch a movie and you can think about it and you can kind of dissect what it's trying to say, but you can also watch the movie as just like an enjoyable kids movie, and he does make the movies for kids, so that's what I really like about it, that it can really target a lot of audiences. It's near perfect. It's a lot of muted.
I was saying that since you said it's near perfect, how about you extend what your score is for the movie at this point?
I gave it a 4.5 initially, but I'm also thinking of moving it to a 5.
All right, then there you go. So all good stuff. 2 near perfect scores for both of us and almost universal praise. Zion, what about you? Where are you standing on The Boy and the Heron?
I think it was pretty close to being perfect. Animation-wise, obviously, there's nothing like the fluidity and the way it's just made. And, like, this is just following all of his past films and really just going out there. There's, like, some scenes of him, like, running through a crowd, like a crowded place. And the way the animation is so fluid is done, like, in a unique way that even I haven't seen in his previous films. And I thought it was done so beautifully well. It was, like, almost like a moving art form, like a moving painting. And I thought, wow, like, the animation really captures you, and like you just like you're in awe of it basically. And I think the whole film was obviously very well done. A lot of the points Charles made are very good about the parallels to himself and his work and things of that nature. And I think all that feeds into it being such a great film for me as well. This is one of the, if not for me, it's the top 2 films of New York Film Festival so far. It's really just between this and Maestro for me personally at this point. But I think there's very few things wrong with it in terms of narrative, story, animation. Some things I could have preferred to be a little just slightly more fleshed out maybe, but it's not like a huge knock on it in any way. And I think overall it was a very, very engaging, and there's also a lot of great emotion as well in the film. And I think it captured all those things perfectly through the animation and through the story itself. And for me, I think I would land score-wise at 4.5, because just some moments, I narratively wished they were just fleshed out a little bit more, but that's just me personally. I think really it's just me. You can be kind of even nitpicky in that way, but it was near almost perfect movie.
So, man, I want to stay a few more minutes on Boy and the Heron, because all of us gave it 4.5. But Zion actually gave a reason why it's 4.5, but you and me just didn't get a reason for it. So let's put our own feet to the fire right now. What's the 0.5 off for, in your opinion?
When I initially watched the movie, I thought it was a little bit hard to understand towards the middle of the movie. I feel like it was trying to say a lot, but it was unclear what exactly it was trying to get at specifically. So it's sort of difficult to understand. So I gave it a 4.5 after TIFF. But then after New York Film Festival, I feel like it was, I feel like you have to watch the movie multiple times to really appreciate what it's trying to say. So that's why I'm probably just going to give it a 5.5 by next streamer if I drop the article or whatever.
Yeah, we're waiting for it. But and I'll, since I put your feature file on my own as well, I think the reason I gave it 0.5 down, I'm also on the fence of giving it a 5, by the way, but the reason I did is because I thought the third act of the film could have been just a touch more polished. That Miyazaki is known for. He's known for like impeccable polish. I feel like the final maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, like literally, that's how little of the film I felt like could have used a little bit more tightening, rather a little more fleshing out. I think that was the place for me, last 2-3 minutes. But it's so nominal that, you know, to use, I don't remember, I heard one of his old phrases was the, you know, 4.99, you know, it's just not giving it, you know, like I feel like at that point, I'll just give it, you know, we'll round up. So I'm considering giving it a 5, but yes, definitely one of the best of New York Film Festival, easily. Cool. So let's move on. For me, I want to hit those top three, but I feel like that's the one the most Oscar buzz is on. But just because there's Oscar buzz for some movies doesn't mean there's not others worth at least touching on, talking about a little bit. So I want to move next to May, December. And this is Todd Haynes' newest film. Quite an interesting film, I think, honestly. I'm thinking back at it. We watched a lot of movies the last few days. But there was this kind of uncomfortableness in this movie that I remember going through. I mean, it lives in the morally gray. But in a weird way, it also has a lot of humor in it. In fact, if anything, a lot of campy humor in it. So it's like a very interesting film where it's constantly keeping you on edge. You don't really know what you're supposed to feel about it from scene to scene. Sometimes you're not sure if this scene is supposed to be funny or if it's supposed to be harrowing or it's supposed to be something else. But I think that's part of the craziness to it, because in essence, this film is dealing with two crazy characters, you know? And these characters are played perfectly, I think, casted like chef's kiss, perfect casting for Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore. I think they both did fantastic. I think for, in terms of Oscar chances, I think Natalie Portman might have a chance for a nomination, but the female category is really, really intense for Best Actress. Though Julianne Moore for Best Supporting Actress, I do expect a nomination there personally. But I think overall, pretty good film. Todd Haynes has his trademark style. If you know it, you know, it's, he brings it to this one as well. I think the score is quite haunting. And I got to give a special shout out to Charles Melton. Am I saying the right name right? He played a character in this film that I think, without getting too much spoiler, I think is one of the more tragic and intense characters to witness. So I think, and he coming from his background in television and moving into films and potentially even doing a performance good enough for a Best Supporting Actor nom, I think that's absolutely incredible. So all good stuff. It's not in my top three of TIFF. It's not my top three of New York Film Festival. It might not be my top five when it's all said and done, but I do think it's a film worth talking about. I think it's an interesting movie. And I'm sitting at a 4 right now for it, honestly. Zian, I'm going to you next. What did you think about May, December?
I also enjoyed it. I think, I enjoyed it. I think it was, I didn't know what to really expect going in. I didn't watch any trailers. I actually knew nothing about the film, except that there's like hype buzzing around it. And yeah, I think, like you said, it touched upon like a pretty serious theme, but like it used its satire and comedy almost to like envelop it and present it in a different way, where it's like, yeah, you're feeling this level of uncomfortability, but it's not so overwhelming that you're like, yeah, I can't sit through this movie because of how uncomfortable it is. So I think just from a director standpoint or like the creative standpoint, they did a very good job of presenting the movie in a way where it's like, is this funny? Is this uncomfortable? What is this? And I think the use of the score as well, like the score is a very strong note that keeps playing throughout the movie. And I think that was used so well, both to amplify either a serious moment or a comedic moment. And I think that shared thread helps you kind of get through the movie and not feel too overwhelmed, because if you really strip it down, it is talking about a pretty serious subject. And I think, like you said, Charles Melton, if that name correct, He really did a very good job, like giving a very sincere performance of this character who's been through like something traumatic, basically, and it's kind of just like moving through the motions, and all these people around him in his life are reacting a certain way to it, or have reacted a certain way to it. So I think he did a very great job in his performance. And like I said, the two leading actresses also did a very great job. There's not a lot really negative to say, but it's like, it was a good movie. It wasn't something like over like production wise or set design, things like that. Like it didn't go like to a completely new place. So you still feel that regular film familiarity of it. Unlike something like Poor Things, where it's like visually even it's something very different. So I guess that also helps you kind of digest the story aspect. So I think overall I was engaged in the film. I enjoyed it. I would also land it probably a 4 out of 5. And we'll see where it ranks at the end. I think I liked it a little more than Shaw's and Samir did. I don't know what Samir's ranking would be, but based on what's left, I think it might be 5th for me in the overall ranking in New York Film Festival at the end, but that depends on what movies we can catch before Fringe is out.
It's interesting because like it's like one of those movies that I don't know if there's a good example for it, but like, you know, this movie's like the Drew Holiday of movies, you know, like it does a job, you know, like, you know, gives you good minutes, but you know, like
I think that's a better title for Hitman.
Well, we're in the next episode. It's like, you know, like I think May, December, it's like, you know, it's a good movie. Didn't break any boundaries. Didn't reinvent the wheel, but did the job. Samir, what about you? Did the movie do the job for you?
Yeah, I genuinely liked the unease you feel while watching the movie. I think it's really fitting for the type of story he was telling. And of course, the main three cast were incredible, especially when Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore are sharing the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel the tension. So they're both incredible actresses. They both definitely deserve nominations for their roles. But the film overall, I think we are all on the same page that it was good. I don't think I'd put it above any of the films that we've talked about so far, but it was still like a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. For me. All good there. So I guess we're all 4 out of 5, pretty much on the same page. Let's move on to the next film on the list, and that's going to be Hitman. So Hitman saw this at New York Film Festival a couple of days now, I think. And this is, you know, I put the tag as Glenn Powell's star power rises. And I think he has been on a tear right now. I think since Top Gun in particular, he got put on the map. I mean, he was doing stuff, of course, before that. But after Top Gun, I think people started knowing him in more or less a household name fashion. A household, I don't mean mainstream, but within the film circles, he was starting to become someone you put on the map. You're like, all right, this guy has some potential. People were throwing him out there already for big roles here and there. Like, yo, we give this guy Hal Jordan, give him all these different roles. Like, things are coming his way. But here, similar to Bradley Cooper with Maestro, he's not only doing work in front of the camera, he's doing work behind the camera, because he was the co-screenwriter, screenplay writer for this movie. So Hitman, I'll go first again for my quick review. I think the film is it's funny, interesting. It's interesting, you know, it's a good time, you know. And I don't sound like I'm repeating some of my points from May, December, but I feel like it's just a movie that, hey, sometimes you want a good time in the movies, you know, some funny scenes, interesting character dynamics, nothing that's going to reinvent the wheel. Personally, I think nothing that is award contention in this film, though perhaps for Golden Globes or something of that nature, where there's a specific comedy category, it might get a nomination. But even then, I don't think it's going to be winning it. Though I do think, again, the main thing about this film is Glenn Powell and his specific charisma on screen alongside his co-stars. I think top to bottom, it was pretty good. In terms of negatives, I mean, it's like May, December. I don't have like big negatives on it, but I don't have any overarching positives where I'm like falling on the floor by how good it was. It's just like, you know, I had a good time. It was all right. It's not going to be in my top 10 films of the year, but it will be in my top 10 of film festival most likely. But that's pretty much my thoughts. I'm sitting on a 4 out of 5, though, if I'd be completely honest with you, by the time we revisit this topic, maybe next week, I might be at 3.5. We're going to see how I sit on that film. But for now, I'm sitting at 4 out of 5. Zion, I'm jumping to you next. What do you think about Hitman?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all your points, basically. I think entertainment factor-wise, it was a pretty entertaining and fun movie. I think it is different from May December in the sense that this is more of like, yeah, fun time at the movies, where May December narratively was kind of different and unique in that way, where that's not something you really see on film or that's really talked about on film. So I think that kind of separates these two films, where you can't really clump them together for that reason. I think this is much more palatable for a very, very wide audience, if not basically like 90% of the audience from like PG-13 up. So for that reason, I think it's going to be received better. I think more people will enjoy it on Netflix and it'll be like more talked about, like, oh yeah, this is a fun movie, you should watch this movie or whatnot. Like you said, I think Glenn Powell's performance really carried the screenplay, carried the script through, because he really did just have a very, he gave a performance where it's like, awesome, people see the movie, they'll really know what it's about, but he plays like a, his performance range is very wide in the film. And I think that really serves it well. And I think that really showcases that, yeah, he is a good actor, and coming from Top Gun, now having like a leading role here for like a bigger film and having his name attached to the background as well. I think that's all great for him and his career, and it will help him like push him forward as well, even more. And I think that's good for him. It's good for the movie. Overall, it was enjoyable. It was fun. A little generic, I guess, but it just had a tinge of uniqueness, whereas, okay, it keeps you just engaged in the movie. And I think the ending was a little strange for me. I think I'll knock it down for a little bit for that as well. It didn't land with me narratively-wise. But overall, I agree with score-wise. Right now, I came out of it thinking, yeah, 4 out of 5, definitely not higher than that, at least for me. But like Shraz, I think I might end up just landing at 3.5 when we really think about this movie a little more and just kind of compare it to the rest of the film festival and what this movie said or what this movie brought to the table versus what other movies it brought to the table. So for that reason, I think 3.5 to 4, anywhere between that is like fair.
Yeah, fair enough. So Mary, passing the baton to you next, what did you think about Hitman?
Well, seeing it at New York Film Festival was the second time I got to see it since I saw it at TIFF earlier. And just like at TIFF, it was probably one of the most enjoyable movies I've seen. I mean, it was a good time. And I feel like that sort of works against it since, it, from what I understand, it's not even getting a theatrical release, which is kind of a shame since what makes this movie better than it is, I guess, is that the experience of watching it in like a large crowd. I feel like when it goes to Netflix straight, it won't benefit from that. When I walked out of TIFF, I had it at a 4.5 out of 5, and then I changed it to a 3.5. Then when I walked out of New York Film Festival, I had it at a 4.5 again, and now I'm thinking of changing it back to a 3.5. And I think the reason I had it higher was because of just the reaction, just the atmosphere of watching it with a bunch of people is what made it better. So
that's fair, yeah.
Not above any of the films we've seen so far, I think.
Yeah, I think the best point you made was that I haven't considered that. What if I was watching the movie alone, or just me and my wife were watching it and just on the TV? Like, you need a, actually, that kind of most comedy movies, like, you need a small theatrical release, because how do you watch a comedy movie alone? Like, just laughing to yourself? I don't know.
Oh, I watched them.
But with the crowd, it's a moment where everyone's laughing, everyone's enjoying it. And sometimes even the more duller jokes will be funnier if someone's laughing next to you, you know? And, you know, our screening had a lot of laughing people, so we had to talk about it. So I think that's all. I mean, unless you're going to talk about La Chimera, I can add. I don't have a topic about it.
I guess I'll quickly say a few words about it.
Yeah. Samir, okay, so I couldn't catch this one because my schedule was busy, but Zion and Samir did. Zion, what did you think about La Chimera?
Honestly, I didn't even know. It wasn't planned to even go to this film, but ended up going to it, and honestly, I'm glad I did, because it was an Italian film, but with subtitles, hopefully that doesn't scare viewers away. I think people should go watch foreign films and not be scared of subtitles. Once you get used to it, it's very easy. I thought the film was pretty good, actually. It was kind of sad. It was like about this lonely guy, basically. So it was a lot of themes of grief, themes of greed, things like, and it's just this guy going through this strange journey or like odyssey, basically, of like doing these immoral things where he's like robbing tombs with his friends, like a grave robber almost. And it just, it goes in a unique place, but you still through the movie see he's struggling and longing for something. I don't want to spoil anything if people want to see it, but like you go through the movie that like he himself internally is like, yeah, he's suffering a little bit too, but then he has this like gift almost of like being able to find these things that like belong to the dead basically. And that's like a big point of the movie. It's like these things, like they belong to souls and the significance of the dead and of people of souls and like of the soul world basically. And that carries through the whole movie, and very profound ending as well. I think that all together created like a very unique movie experience. The way it was shot was very beautifully done as well. Where everything was just like very well shot, very well cinematography wise, like the way the camera angles were and what they were shooting to represent what scene, I think, or like convey what message, I think it was all done very well. And I think it was a very unique movie for that reason. I enjoyed it very much. I know Samir has issues with it. He thought it was a little slow. I did not find that to be an issue for me. I thought the pacing was all right for the type of story it was, and like what they're trying to show with this character who's obviously troubled inside. And I think those moments of like quietness really kind of just pushed that forward. I enjoyed it very much. I gave it a 4 out of 5. It could have been a 4.5 for me, but I think 4 out of 5 is fair for the movie.
So Mary, Zan said you might disagree. So where was your disagreement?
I did think it was a slow burn. But I feel like this movie has aged better every time I've thought about it. It was very nuanced, but I feel like if you don't enjoy the slow pace movie, you could sort of miss it because of just the pacing. I don't understand what Zan means by like. I don't think it was very well paced. I think it was slow, but I do like what it had to say, and the ending of course was great. And it was shot kind of old timey ish, which I really liked. It kind of reminded me of Stalker, like 1979 Stalker. I don't know if you guys seen that, which is also very good. Overall, I think I feel like I like this a little bit more than Maestro, now that I'm thinking about it, just because of what it had to say. I feel like it had a lot more to say, and it said it in a very interesting way. I did end up giving it a 4 out of 5 though, just four straight.
I think you're bumping
down a little bit.
You're just saying it's some high praise, though. You may bump it up a little bit.
Might do it.
That's interesting. I think you left your biggest hot take for the end, because that's a hot take, saying that you like La Camera more than Maestro. And after your guys' high praise, maybe next time I have a chance to catch it, I will. But pretty much that's a big, quick roundtable of some of the movies we've seen at New York Festival so far. This is something that's going to be covered in multiple parts. So as we cover more of the festival this coming week, expect more thoughts from the Faruqi Bros. Let us know in the comments below if you have any thoughts on any of these movies, if you're excited for them coming up. A lot of them are getting release dates in the coming weeks and months. So definitely want to hear your thoughts on which ones you're most excited for. From myself, from Zian, and from Samir, we're the Faruqi Bros. And we'll see you next time. Peace out.